Agriculture officials are still awaiting the results of DNA tests, which will confirm whether the Holstein cow in the state of Washington that tested positive for mad cow disease came from Canada. The case demonstrates how difficult it is to trace cattle in North America and to make sure their feed is not contaminated, NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
Investigators say they want to know every place the infected cow had been. They want to know the same thing about every animal in its herd. That's no small feat, given the number of times a typical cow moves around. Ken Foster is agriculture professor at Purdue University.
If we're talking about dairy cows, it may have moved from the farm where it was born to a farm where it was raised until breeding age, bred, and then at the time that it's ready to start producing milk, then it moves to a dairy production herd. So it might have been on three, possibly even four different locations.
And in more than one country. That can mean keeping track of feeding practices at many different locations. It also means knowing what happened to a cow at every stage of its life. The earliest risk may come within a few weeks of birth. A common feeding practice is to wean young calves from their mother's milk and start them on formula that may contain the protein-rich blood of slaughtered cows. John Stauber is the author of the book Mad Cow in the USA. He says if the formula is made from the blood of an infected cow, it could pass to the calf.
A calf in the United States could be infected with mad cow disease the moment it's taken off its mother's milk and put on a perfectly legal calf milk replacer whose protein source is raw cattle blood protein.
Scientists debate whether blood can transmit mad cow disease, but last month scientists in England reported a probable blood transmission of the human version of mad cow disease. Veterinary pathologist Leon Thacker is director of the Indiana Disease Diagnostic Lab. He says mad cow is caused by an agent called a prion.
What we're seeing is evidence the prion was still active in going from one individual to another, and so if that happened for humans, it could just as easily happen for animals.
Thacker says in light of this controversy, the U.S. government may want to consider expanding its 1997 feed ban that forbids the use of cattle parts in cattle feed, meaning no cattle blood would be allowed in formula given to calves. Cows could also be vulnerable when they're switched over to solid food. Feed mills are bound by the 97 ban regarding the use of animal parts, but consumer advocates say there's not enough government oversight in either Canada or the U.S. to ensure that mills are complying. Carolyn Smith-DeWall is policy director at the Center for Science and the Public Interest.
Some of the problems we've observed with the feed ban is that one company can produce feed intended for cattle and feed that cattle are specifically banned from having. And that means in the feed mill itself, there can be problems with mislabeling or cross-contamination between the feed.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is monitoring closely all the talk of recommended policy changes, but spokesman Bo Reagan says so far his organization is not convinced that any modifications to the 97 feed ban are needed. He says the government's own records show that his industry is strictly following the feed regulations.
You have to go back to the data that USDA has that they've been collecting since August of 1997. They evaluate each plant at least once a year. The latest survey says that we have 99.9% of those plants and suppliers are in compliance with the feed ban.
Instead of speculating about problems with feed practices, Reagan says the cattlemen are focused on figuring out exactly what happened in this case. Critics say if a better system for tracing cattle had been in place, they might already have the answer. Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.